Father, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So, whenever we hear the name Job, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Don't everybody answer at once. Loss. What else? What's that?
Suffering.
Patience, I often. The patience of Job, as my grandmother used to say. The thing about Job is he's this ubiquitous character, and absolutely no one wants to be like him, right? Nobody wants to have to deal with that. For those who need a little refresher course from Sunday school, Book of Job is about this guy who has everything going for him. He has, you know, farmland, he has livestock, smoking hot wife, he's got all these kids, everything is just great for him. People attribute everything going well for him to his righteousness, which is the understanding of the ancient world, that if you do good things, God gives you a reward. If you're bad, then bad things happen to you. It was this idea of this sort of divine karma that came to rest on everyone. So God is minding his own business in heaven, and Satan shows up one day and says, well, he only loves you because you gave him all this stuff. And God says, all right, you're on. And then lots of bad stuff then begins to happen to Job. He loses everything. And then as the story goes, three of his friends show up who are completely not helpful and tell him, you know, you say you're a righteous man, we think you're a righteous man, however, since all this bad stuff happened to you, obviously you've screwed up somewhere. Job's wife, also not particularly helpful, her solution to the problem is, well, why don't you just curse God and die? I guess she had a life insurance policy on him, I don't know. But Job's response to all of this is he's maintaining this idea. I was righteous, and so good things were supposed to happen to me. And then he decides, I know that I am blameless, so it must be God that is unjust, but I'm not going to say anything because God's God, and I'm just going to sit here and take it. Then this other dude shows up and starts to question everything that goes on. And finally, towards the end, God shows up. And that's the reading that we had from the Old Testament today. God speaks to Job from the whirlwind. And his response, God's response to all of this that's happened to Job, was essentially like, who are you to question why bad things happen to good people? Is it your responsibility to question how it is that I have ordered the world and how it is that I interact? You weren't there when the world was created. You don't have the full knowledge of the universe at your fingertips. You don't understand. And quite frankly, I want to say this, quite frankly, I don't fully understand myself why bad things happen to good people. You would think that for those who are good and right and blameless, you would think that only good things would happen to them. That's our understanding of justice. But it's not necessarily God's understanding of how he interacts with the world. We see things that happen one right after another. I liken it sometimes to, remember the old school film? If you would open up a cassette tape, they don't even make those anymore, do they? If you open up a cassette tape, you could see all the little squares of film. Each little scene captured in picture form. We see each one of those individually as they pass by through our lives. We see frame after frame, and that's all we see. The reality is that God actually holds both ends of that film in his almighty hands and is able to take it all in at once. Paul talks about what will be revealed to us and the glory that awaits for us at a later date. and how all of the sufferings and all of the issues and all of the problems and all of the trials that we face right here and right now are big to us, because we only see that little tiny moment in time. But the reality is, there is something, in fact, more glorious than we could ever imagine that awaits for us. That fullness of God's love and mercy and grace and compassion awaits for us. And all of the trials and evil and awfulness in this world, and there is a lot of it, will pale in comparison to the glory that will be revealed to us. But here's the thing. That's all good and well. But that doesn't help whenever we've experienced loss or hurt or pain. It's all good and well to promise a better day in the future, but it doesn't help us feel better right now whenever we have to bury someone, whenever we have to end a marriage, whenever we have to face a terrible diagnosis. It doesn't help us in those times of trial, does it? To push that off. We're still sad. We're still hurting. There is a truth in the reality of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the blameless one, the one who came and lived as one of us yet never sinned, also suffered. See, the point of that is that when we suffer, God suffers with us. God is there beside us. Not as one of those friends who said, "Boy, you really screwed up," but one of those friends who loves us. Sometimes we don't need anyone fixing our problem. We just need to sit and know that someone cares. And my brothers and sisters, God is there with us, sitting beside us in all of our times of trial and trouble. It doesn't matter what we're going through, but God is there beside us. God suffers alongside us. I believe that God grieves with us. God has shed so many tears on our behalf because of the troubles and things that we have gone through in our lives. But God sees that better day. God is aware of what's going to happen. And although we want that cosmic karma to immediately smite those who have done us wrong, to immediately give us a reward for doing good, God doesn't see the world quite that way. I personally am very thankful that my life hasn't turned out as a direct result of whether or not I've been good or bad. I am very thankful that, as the prophet Ezekiel also commented, the rain falls on the fields of the just and the unjust. We face good and we face bad in this world. There is hurt, yes. But if we never experienced loss, could we ever experience love? If we never experienced pain, could we never truly appreciate goodness? It's a yin and a yang, so to speak. Without one, we can't have the other. But so often we just want the one. We just crave the one. My brothers and sisters, that love and peace and mercy and grace awaits us one day. But until we get to that point, until we have reached that better day, God is still with us. We are not abandoned. We trust in God. If we rely on Him, that better day will come for us. And perhaps, just perhaps, we can experience God's presence with us in times of trouble and trial. Now, our buddy Job went through all of this. Confessed that he didn't understand. That he was not the one that was there when the world was created. That he, in many ways, did not see both ends of that film. If you know the rest of the story, everything was restored to him. He received that. One day, my brothers and sisters, we too will receive our reward for our faithfulness. But don't abandon the possibility of feeling that love and precious presence of God in our lives. God is there in our sorrow, our suffering. God is also there in our joy. Let us never forget that our God is present with us through thick, through thin, through all the trials we have in life. Because when we do recognize His presence, we can experience that love that we need in each and every one of those moments. Amen.